Well, it's good to see everyone back again this afternoon. Mom did want me to tell everyone that after taking a little bit of her medicine, she should be feeling better, and hopefully we'll be able to join us again Wednesday, and with a little bit of time and the Lord's help, she'll be feeling much better. But she wanted us to let y'all know that. For this afternoon, the topic or the theme of our talk this afternoon is going to be 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, or verse 9. And Dad and I were talking shortly after the lesson that Paul gave us this morning, such a good lesson that really it kind of did all the work for me. And if we just replace doctrine of Christ with every time he said truth in the meeting this morning, it's pretty much job well done, and this lesson would probably be better off if we just copied his lesson and just replaced those few words. But for this evening, we'll read verse 9 to begin our lesson. Here the Bible reads, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Throughout the Scriptures, we have warnings and we have many stories and of individuals warning those in the Bible at the immediate time and us now today of being careful of false doctrine and the importance of the truth of the doctrine of Christ. Just in our reading earlier, Brian read Matthew chapter 16 and verse 12. It talks about Jesus warning the apostles of the leaven or the doctrine of the Pharisees. And so we're going to take a little bit of time this afternoon. It's not a very long lesson for us to kind of look into this and what exactly 2 John verse 9 means, and talk about the warnings of those who preach false doctrine and what it means to abide in the doctrine of Christ. But at this time, we do have the opportunity, the privilege to go to God in prayer, and we would ask that you please humble yourself as we pray. A little disclaimer before we get started. I remember when I was first going over this lesson, I mentioned that a couple times, is that this particular subject can be as broad or as defined as kind of the individual would like in regards to some of the ideas branching out through the gospel. And the way my mind kind of works, you know, I guess the doctor said I had ADHD growing up. I can tell you most of that was usually fixed by a swift hand sometimes. But whether I had it or not, I tried to study, and it was kind of a squirrel mentality. I'd focus for a little bit on one thing, but then I would have this other thought or other idea kind of gnawing at the back of my head, and I would have a squirrel moment where I would go work a little bit on that, and then I'd go work a little bit on something else. Or if you can imagine, say, trying to clean a room, and so you go and dust something, you hit the CD player, notice you have a CD left in there, so you go to take it out and put it in its place. And there's another CD in that CD case, so now you got to rearrange your CD case as well. Then that goes from one thing to another. So that was kind of my thought process through this. So it was a little difficult to really hone in and find a direction or a pathway for this lesson. So if my thoughts are a little bit sporadic, I do apologize in advance. But what we want to know is, what does 2 John verse 9 really mean? Well, following his warning, John provides a way to identify false teachers. Now first he notes that those who do not hold to sound teaching are worthy of doubt. In other words, if a person teaches something about Jesus himself which is grossly wrong, they cannot be considered a believer. True Christians may misunderstand or at the time be ignorant of certain biblical teachings about Jesus, but those who completely misunderstand who Jesus really was or who teach against the true identity of Jesus on purpose, such as the Gnostics at this time, which were a group that was growing at the time, and they may even have been of what was on John's mind when he was writing this warning to the church. These individuals are false teachers and unbelievers. In contrast, those who stay faithful to Christ's teaching should be trusted. The idea of abiding is again mentioned, 2 John verse 2. We must not only profess the true doctrine of Christ, but we must abide in it. We must live it. The way we live, our actions must be a reflection or a carbon copy, if you will, of Christ's teachings. We cannot just talk the talk, but we must walk the walk, as some say. Now, there are some that interpret this portion of Scripture to mean that if at any point you falter or stray away from the teachings of the doctrine of Christ, that you were never a true believer to begin with, or never had God or Christ, and that any transgression, even if an uneducated error, and not just doctrinal error, then you never truly were abiding in Christ. This, of course, falls under the idea of that contradicts grace as we know it. Now, of course, we could spend a long time viewing the comparisons and contrasts of this idea in and of itself, but we'll save that for another lesson at another time. Now, we know that if someone strays back into their previous ways and willfully does not the will of God and chooses not to follow the doctrine of Christ, that they do not have God or His Son. But when we sin, and we then recognize the sin and repent, when we turn back to God immediately, and when we realize our fault and transgression, when we ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven. And we can continue to abide in Christ. It doesn't mean we never abided in Him to begin with. Only that we are sinners, by the grace of God, we have the opportunity through repentance and asking forgiveness to be restored. And if we were to try to give maybe a summary of content to this portion of Scripture, 2 John, beginning with verse 7 through 11, it actually discusses a certain type of false teacher. Here the Bible reads, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward." Those who deny that Jesus came to earth in a real, physical, human form are not teaching the truth. Now, around this time, there were certain groups that were teaching this. They were later known as Gnostics. Dad was talking as we discussed this. He gave a lesson. I don't know exactly how far it was when he gave this lesson, but he talked about these individuals and one of the more well-known spreaders of this false doctrine known as Cerinthus. And if we read in 2 John, continuing in verse 10 through 11, it says, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." So according to John, these people are not to be supported in any way whatsoever. Those who help a false teacher are participating in their sin. I guess you could say in today's terminology, they're aiding and abetting, if you will. Now, we still have individuals out there today committed to the same false teachings. Some more obvious than others, but some of the most dangerous were the ones that taught falsely, but also taught just enough of the truth to gain the trust of the followers and then slowly lead them away from the true doctrine of Christ, to lead them away from the truth. Individuals like Pat Robertson, Billy Graham, Joel Osteen, and individuals like this. Now, some of these individuals were accepted by many because of the message that they would profess and how much they enjoyed the coexistence with others, whether or not you followed a certain way of worshiping God than they did. Who did not follow God's word. Those like, as I mentioned, Joel Osteen, and also remember Tammy Faye Baker. And then you have groups like the 700 Club and such associations as this. A better view is one that uses the text here to interpret what John says in context. And I got to say, out of all the lessons I've learned just in this year of us doing these themes and of us studying this portion of Scripture, is how important, and everything kind of falls back into this, is how important it is to be in context when we read the Scriptures to fully understand its teachings. Up to this point, John has discussed three doctrines: truth, love, and faith. Faith, verse 7, is faith in Jesus, not necessarily faith in every doctrine. He's pretty plain on that point. The meaning of love in verse 5 and 6 is obvious enough as well. What is truth in verse 1 through 4? Well, as we know, we got a full explanation of that this morning. And we were well taught. I don't think there's any confusion there at this point. It may not be clear at first glance, but after what we know to be true, it's every true thing in the Bible. But it's talking about the doctrine of Christ and what we are to be doing in our lives today. As Paul taught us this morning, the truth is the doctrine of Christ. It is what brings us all together, as he mentioned earlier this morning. It's the one thing, it's one of the things that we all have in common. Every individual here in the assembly today leads different lives. We have different experiences, different histories. But one thing that we all can join together in is knowing that we abide in the truth and that we are Christians. The Bible reads in verse 9, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Now, this is not a perfect translation, and figurative language, or I can't pronounce this word, but I'll spell it. They said it's a metonymy, in this case, would best describe this particular passage. It doesn't translate perfectly into a single word, although this is pretty close. Rather, a more accurate statement of John's use of truth would be something more like the gospel, especially the fact that Jesus came in the flesh, which is an error being taught by certain teachers at this time, and is still being taught. As well as the gospel, spiritual implications such as our obligation to love as Jesus loved, and to remain in the faith, and to live righteously. The very point of the gospel is that Jesus died to give us, imperfect sinners, an opportunity of salvation, because we never attain perfection in our own. We'll never be morally perfect, and we will never be intellectually perfect. But we have God to thank, because while men are still sinners, at the time men were still sinners, God sent His Son. Christ came as a ransom to save us all from our sins. Without Him, we would have no hope. Therefore, anyone who teaches that doctrine contrary to the doctrine given to us by Christ does not teach the truth, and they do not profess a doctrine that saves. They do not profess the truth, the doctrine of Christ. In verse 8, it says, "But even if," when we think back, I was going to say, Dad mentioned in his previous lesson of the conversation that he and I had about a conversation that Dwayne talked about, and I believe he mentioned one of his lessons, that what was it? He gave in one of his lessons basically an example of him talking to someone else that wanted to give him literature contrary to the Bible. And Dwayne has that verse ready to go. Gave him the Bible and had him read out of it. And explained to him, basically convicted himself of what he was trying to do. And of course, the Bible reads, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let it be accursed." And it was kind of a story that stuck with me. And oftentimes when we talk about false teachers or people that try to profess doctrine other than what we know to be the truth, this verse is usually the first one that comes to mind. And verse 9, it continues, "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." So at the beginning, in verse 8, it talks about if we or even an angel from heaven give you any other gospel than what we preach to you, let him be accursed. But in verse 9, it says, "So now I say again, if anyone," that includes everyone else, "if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have, what you have received, let him be accursed." Now this does not just speak of these famous televangelists that we know. This doesn't just speak of preachers and other digressive congregations. This doesn't just speak of the Pope or Catholic priests. Verse 9 says, "If anyone preaches any other gospel." This includes that acquaintance from work, maybe, that tells you that he knows God wouldn't mind if they have a rock band or a laser light show at service, if they know that they're doing it to honor Christ, to honor God. Anyone includes maybe a good friend that says attending church services isn't necessary to obey God's will because it just doesn't make sense that God is everywhere but you have to go down to the church building to see Him. Anyone includes maybe a husband or a wife that tells you baptism is good and a good way to show a sign of your faith, but it isn't necessary to be saved because that's the way they were taught when they were growing up. You know, we read Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 quite often. And we talk about the false teachings. But oftentimes we tend to kind of stop there in that example. But if we read on, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" We need to ask ourselves, who are we striving for? To whom are our works and all of our efforts being done for? Are they being done for our friends? Are they being done for our family? For others out in the world? Or is the life we're leading and the things we do and the words we say, is it for God? Continuing in verse 10, it says, "For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." If the life we live is to serve man or to serve ourselves and to serve the world, then we cannot be servants or followers of Christ. We are without Christ. We are without God. And we are without the truth, the doctrine of Christ. Verse 11 says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received of it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know, God's Word tells us, and I was talking to Dad about that, about this at the beginning of service. We are taught that we are to be a peculiar people. What does that mean? And how? How are we to be peculiar to others? Well, we are to be peculiar when we decide not to spend an entire weekend camping out with our friends because we have somewhere to be Sunday morning. they're going to find that off. We're to be peculiar. When a door slams on our hand or something falls on our foot, we bite our tongue instead of shouting out blasphemies in ungodly language to our friends or our coworkers. That would be odd. We are peculiar people by the lives we lead, by not going with the status quo in the world. We are peculiar people because we are the children of God, and because we are the church, and because we live a life based on the truth. In our lives, the lives we lead abide in the gospel of Christ. So we need to ask ourselves, are we abiding in the truth? And if we are, we must be aware, we must be alert, and we must watch out for false doctrine so that we are not led away, and so also we do not lead others away.